Multi-State Essay Questions and Answers, February 2008, Separac Bar Review, Question 8. On April 10th, a convenience store was robbed by someone carrying a gun. The store's video camera caught the robbery on tape. The tape was shown on the evening news. On April 11th, an anonymous caller contacted the police saying, "I saw the tape of the robbery. The robber kind of looks like student. He's an 18-year-old student at the high school." On April 12th, two police officers took the tape to the high school and showed it to the principal, who said, "It could be student. It's hard to tell because the tape is not clear." The tape was also shown to student's homeroom teacher, who said, "It might be him, but I couldn't say for sure." Later that day, the police officers went to the store where student works after school. They asked the manager if they could talk with student, who was called to the manager's office. The police introduced themselves to student and said, "We'd like to talk to you." They walked with student into the manager's office and shut the door. One police officer sat behind the manager's desk. The other, in full uniform, with his revolver visible, sat near the door. Student sat between them. The manager's office measures 8 feet by 10 feet. The police officers told student they wanted to ask him some questions about the convenience store robbery on April 10th. Student said he knew nothing about a robbery. He continued to deny that he had any knowledge of the robbery for about 20 minutes. Student did not ask to leave, and neither police officer told student he was free to leave. After about 20 minutes, the police officers told student that they had a videotape of the robbery, and that they had shown it to 3 people, all of whom positively identified student as the robber. Student said nothing for a few minutes. One of the police officers then said, "You know, if we can tell the prosecutor that you cooperated, she might go a lot easier on you. I'd hate to see you end up doing a long stretch in prison. Let's just say it's not a nice place." Student then blurted out, "I did the robbery. I used a little air gun." Immediately after student made that statement, the police officers informed student that he was under arrest for the robbery of the convenience store. They read him his Miranda rights. Student stated he understood his Miranda rights and told the police officers that he was not going to say anything more to them. The police officers placed student in handcuffs and took him to the police station, where he was booked for armed robbery. Student had had 2 earlier brushes with the law. When he was 16, he had been found delinquent in juvenile court for auto theft, and had been placed on supervision for 1 year. When he was 17, he had received a ticket for underage drinking and had paid a fine of $150. He is a C student, but his teachers believe he is an underachiever. Student's defense attorney has filed a motion to suppress student's statements on 3 grounds. 1. Student's statements were obtained in violation of student's Fourth Amendment rights. 2. Student's statements were obtained in violation of his Miranda rights. 3. Student's confession was not voluntary. How should the trial court rule on each of the grounds in the motion to suppress? Explain. Multi-State Essay Questions and Answers, February 2008, Separac Bar Review, Answer Analysis of Question 8, Criminal Law and Procedure. Issue 1. Did the police interview of student violate student's Fourth Amendment right to be free from unreasonable seizure, such that student's statements, including the confession, should be suppressed as fruit of the poisonous tree? Issue 2. Should student's statements be suppressed because the police failed to read him his Miranda rights when they questioned him in the manager's office? Issue 3. Should student's confession be suppressed because it was involuntary? Answer discussion. Student was seized within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment when he was brought into the manager's office to be questioned by the police. However, that seizure did not violate student's Fourth Amendment rights, because the police had reasonable, articulable suspicion that student had been the perpetrator of an armed robbery. This allowed them to detain him for the purposes of investigation, and will not taint any statements that student made during the detention. Whether the police were required to read student his Miranda warnings depends on whether he was subject to in-custody interrogation. In this case, the only real question is whether student was in custody. Applying the objective standard, student was probably not in custody when he spoke with the officers in the manager's office, and Miranda warnings were not required. The last question is whether student's confession to the officers was voluntary, or whether it was the product of police coercion that overcame student's will. Here a court must look at the totality of the circumstances in ruling on the voluntariness of the confession. Most courts would probably conclude that student's confession was voluntary. Explanation to point 1, 25-35% of your score. Student was seized by the police within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment, but the seizure was a lawful investigative detention. Student has a Fourth Amendment right to be free from unreasonable seizure. However, this Fourth Amendment right was violated in this case only if, a. student was in fact seized by the police when they spoke with him in the manager's office, and, b. that seizure was unreasonable for Fourth Amendment purposes. If the seizure did violate student's Fourth Amendment rights, then student's statements would be suppressible because they were the direct result of that seizure, that is, the fruit of the poisonous tree. A person has been seized, if in light of all of the circumstances, a reasonable person would have believed that he was not free to leave. In this case, a court could legitimately find that student was seized by law enforcement. Student was taken into his manager's office where he remained for approximately 25 minutes with two police officers, one of whom had a visible weapon. One officer sat between student and the door, and the door was closed. Student was not told that he was free to leave. Under these circumstances, a reasonable person in student's position would probably have believed that he was required to stay in the room until the police officers gave him permission to leave. Assuming that there was a seizure, the next question is whether it was a violation of student's Fourth Amendment rights. Although the police did not have probable cause to arrest student for the armed robbery, the Fourth Amendment permits detention of an individual for a relatively brief period of time, if the police have a reasonable, articulable suspicion that the individual in question had been recently involved in criminal activity. In this case, three people said that the person on the tape of the convenience store robbery could be, might be, and looked like student. These identifications, although far from certain, gave the law enforcement officers sufficient specific facts to form the basis of a reasonable suspicion that student was the robber. The fact that one of the identifiers was an anonymous caller does not affect the reasonableness of law enforcement's actions, since the police officers corroborated the possible identification with student's principal and student's homeroom teacher. Thus, student's Fourth Amendment rights were not violated, and his statements should not be suppressed. Explanation to point 2, 30-40% of your score. The police were probably not required to read student the Miranda warnings because he was probably not in custody until they placed him under arrest. Law enforcement officers are required to read Miranda warnings to a suspect when the suspect is subjected to an in-custody interrogation. If the officers were required to read the warnings and failed to do so, the statements should be suppressed. Student was clearly subject to interrogation, which has been defined not only as questioning initiated by law enforcement, but as any words or actions on the part of the police that the police should know are reasonably likely to elicit an incriminating response from the suspect. The only question then is whether student was in custody when he was being questioned. Custody is a substantial seizure, and is defined as either a formal arrest, or restraint on freedom of movement, of the degree associated with a formal arrest. A suspect need not be in a police station to be in custody. Whether a suspect is in custody is determined by how a reasonable person in the suspect's situation would perceive his circumstances. In assessing the question of custody, Courts consider the facts surrounding the interrogation. The test to be applied is purely objective. Therefore, a suspect's age, experience, and other personal characteristics are not considered. In this case, two police officers had student summoned to the manager's office, into which they escorted him and closed the door. Student was outnumbered 2-1, and one officer, with a visible firearm, sat between student and the door. The police did not tell student that he was free to leave. Nonetheless, student was probably not in custody. The police officers told student that they would like to talk with him. He was not told that he was under arrest until the end of the interview. During the interview, student was not in any restraints, the two officers were seated in chairs, and the interview took place in an office. While student may not have felt that he was free to leave, a reasonable person would probably not have believed that he had been arrested, or otherwise taken into formal custody. If student was not in custody, then the police were not required to read him Miranda warnings before talking with him. Therefore, there should be no suppression for a Miranda violation. Explanation to point 3, 25-35% of your score. Based on the totality of the circumstances, student's confession was probably voluntary. The voluntariness of a confession is based on, 1, whether the police subjected the suspect to coercive conduct, and, 2, whether the conduct was sufficient to overcome the will of the suspect. There is certainly some evidence of coercion. Here, the police interviewed student in a small, closed room, 2-1, with a firearm displayed. The police did not tell student that he was free to go if he chose, did not tell him that he was not obliged to answer their questions, and did not advise him of his Miranda rights. The police also lied to student about the strength of their case. By itself, the lie would not be a ground for suppression. Trickery and deceit do not render a confession inadmissible. Far from making the police a fiduciary of the suspect, the law permits the police to pressure and cajole, conceal material facts, and actively mislead. But in conjunction with the other factors, this deception pushes this case closer to the line of coercion. The more difficult question is whether this coercive conduct was sufficient to overcome the will of the suspect. Here, courts consider the totality of the circumstances and take into account both the conduct of the police and the suspect's individual characteristics such as age, level of education, and familiarity with the criminal justice system. A court could conclude that the police behavior was insufficiently coercive to have overcome student's will. The facts indicate that student is an adult, 18 years old, of at least average intelligence, and that he has some experience with the juvenile justice system. The interview in his manager's office lasted less than 30 minutes. Although the police statements about the identification were not 100% true, the fact that a suspect has been deceived about the strength of evidence does not automatically render a statement involuntary. The statement by the police officers that the prosecutor might be more lenient when a defendant is young and cooperates could be construed as an accurate observation of how the justice system operates, rather than as a promise of leniency. Similarly, the police officer's general description of prison as not being a nice place was not a threat, but simply a statement of fact. On the other hand, a court that focuses on students' youth and inexperience might consider the confession to have been involuntary. Student is a high school senior with minimal experience with the criminal justice system. He was questioned in his manager's office by two police officers. His confession was in direct response to police conduct that could be considered overreaching. First, the police deliberately lied about the strength of the evidence against him. When it appeared that student was reacting to that tactic, the police upped the ante by telling him that a confession might result in leniency. Finally, the police officers made what could be taken as a veiled threat about what would happen to student in prison if he did not confess.